And Aaron Rodgers gets up with a limp. Aaron Rodgers is sitting down in the field. He's hurt.
Son of a...
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm talking about the freaking New York Jets having a curse hanging over
from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Every time we think we're out, the football gods pull us back in.
Today's guests, ESPN SportsCenter anchor Scott Van Pelt, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, and now... it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show live on the Roku channel. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and so much more. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We welcome all of you who are watching and listening because you watch and listen to us every single day. We appreciate the repeat viewership and listenership, and we say hello to everybody out there who's tuning in for some way, shape, or form to see if I'm okay. A welfare check on Rich edition of Rich Eisen Show is on the air. How are you over there, Chris Brockman? What's going on, bro?
Hey, Rich. Anything happened yesterday?
What's up, DJ Mikey D? Is in D's nuts.
Good morning, Rich.
TJ Jefferson, candles lit. Good to see you over there, TJ.
Candles lit, and I'm going to have to redo the Cowboys one loss record, I think.
We're going to, by the way... I said we were going to do that. We're going to do that.
Oh, yeah?
We're going to do it.
Some things may change.
All right. We're going to do that. But I appreciate everybody being here today.
Thanks very much. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. Let's start today's show in 1999.
Oh, okay.
Because I just want to give everybody an idea of what it's like to be a Jet fan and why, despite the optimism and the excitement and the hope of the last 4 or 5 months of Aaron Rodgers deciding his intention to play for the Jets and then actually signing with the Jets, being acquired by the Jets, how there is always underneath this excitement and hope an undercurrent of absolute misery. 1999 is where we start on this program. The last time the Jets, as we know, had Bill Parcells as their head coach. Okay. There was tons of hope fresh off of an AFC championship game appearance. I was there in Denver with my Wesley Walker jersey I wore in Camp Locondo with my name still stitched in the back so you knew which bunk to return the laundry to after it was cleaned. I still fit in it. I was on ESPN for 2+ years, and I went and sat in the last row of Mile High Stadium because I'm a diehard Jet fan and also a masochist. I watched the Jets take a halftime lead and then blow it against John Elway and Terrell Davis and the rest of the Broncos. And despite all of that, lots of hope because Bill was back. And so were the hopes for the Jets to maybe run it back and make the Super Bowl. And Vinny Testaverde took the field that day on opening day of the 1999 season. And a quarter and a half into the game, Curtis Martin, future Hall of Famer, fumbled as Willie McGinnis popped it loose against the Patriots. And Vinny went to go back and grab the fumble, loose ball, and blew out his left Achilles tendon. Carried off the field. There goes the Jets' hopes. Even though Tom Tupa went in the game and threw a touchdown pass to Keyshawn right after that to put the Jets up 14-10. But we all knew, despite Tom Tupa performing admirably, Super Bowl hopes were over. And as a matter of fact, can confirm they were. Parcells gone, Belichick in, and he signs a cocktail napkin resigning. And the rest, we all know, is history, which is why we Jets fans know we're not allowed to have hope for very long. Cut to the present day, because last night, guess who was an honorary captain for the kickoff last night? Vinny Testaverde.
No way.
There he is.
Oh.
I saw this.
No way.
In all honesty, I heard this. I saw this. I thought to myself, what the hell is he doing there? I didn't see that. Because today is the 24th anniversary of the day Vinny blew out his left Achilles tendon. Today. September 12th, 1999. That happened. Now, we all know it's not Vinny's fault that Aaron Rodgers, four snaps in, blows out his left Achilles tendon as of this very morning. Confirmed. Clean tear. It's over. Four snaps. That's all we were allowed by the football gods. Four snaps before his left Achilles tendon snapped as Leonard Floyd came in. And the turf of MetLife grabs another. Aaron Rodgers went down, and it looked innocent, but you could see on the photograph on the screen right here on our Roku channel feed, Leonard Floyd on top of the left leg, and that is an unnatural way for a 39-year-old Achilles tendon to be pressured. Couldn't believe that he limped and then sat down over. And I kind of feel, just in case maybe folks out there still don't comprehend what it's like to feel as a Jet fan. Let's go pop culture. Remember the movie The Shining?
Oh, yes.
Scatman Crothers.
I just saw it a couple
he was
ago.
A caretaker of the Overlook Hotel.
Yes.
Denny.
And he had the ability to communicate with a young boy at the Overlook Hotel in snowy Colorado, all the way from Florida. He was able to shine with this young boy, knowing there was trouble trying to save him. This entire time, when Rodgers announced on Pat's show, I have an intention to play for the Jets. I'm out of my darkness therapy. I intend to play for the Jets. And then we waited, and it happened. And then he shows up. And not only does he show up, he commits. He's hanging out. He's going to the Tonys. He's going to Taylor Swift. He's just Mr. New York. And he's not only locked in, but the fan base is locked in and the Jets are locked in and they are here for him and he's here for them. And he's talking about redeeming Mekhi Becton and he's talking about how beautiful the New York City skyline is, and he's talking about how he might be here for a long time and hand things off to Zach Wilson, and he's going to be here for a long time, and you're about to have 20 years of greatness, Jets fans, starting now. Every single time I thought to myself, this is just like Scatman Crothers flying all the way from Florida, taking a flight, getting into a snowcat, going all the way up the mountain in the middle of a snowstorm just to get to the whole Overlook Hotel in time to get an axe in the chest. Four snaps in, axe in the chest. All work and no play makes the football gods clearly dull and bored. They can't stop kicking the Jets in the nards. Four snaps. And then a crazy thing happened as Zach Wilson came out after all of this. And I thought to myself, this thing's a wrap. We all did in the United States of America watching this, right?
Yeah.
Crazy thing happened. We found out just how talented the roster is and how good Robert Saleh is. Because I don't know how in the world they kept it together. Now, you could sit back here and troll Josh Allen and say, well, he helped. The Jets' defense is championship quality, which is why they went to get Aaron Rodgers to put more than just a handful of points on the board and not go through the excruciating experience of watching an unready Zach Wilson try to matriculate the ball down the field. And we saw Zach make a couple of good throws. And we saw Zach throw one right to the Buffalo Bills. We saw him retreat 40 yards before finally throwing one out of bounds. And when he threw it out of bounds and not to the Bills, I thought to myself, well, that's an improvement from the Patriots' performances, right?
Right. Yeah.
But just when you thought it was all over, Garrett Wilson makes a play. Dude. And he is incredibly talented. And the defense makes plays. And just enough was happening to give the Jets a chance. And then Josh Allen, after the game is actually tied by the Jets, first snap, takes his eye off the ball. Ball on the ground. He grabs it, and then it looked like ran into his own lineman. The Jets also ran into him as well. Ball on the ground. Jets take the lead. They play it conservative, forcing overtime because they played it conservative, and Josh Allen started to find Stephon Diggs just enough to force overtime. And I don't know how this happened. I still cannot compute it, starting from the fact that tails failed in the coin toss. Bills called heads, and it showed up heads. I thought tails was supposed to never fail. I'm like, this is not happening. And then the Bills false started, and then I don't know what that play calling was on second and long going on. I'm like thinking to myself, okay, you want to draw play it all you want on second and long instead of Josh Allen pulling his Mandalorian running around stuff and then keeping plays alive and finding Diggs wide open? I'm fine with that. They complied and then kicked it off to the rookie we all fell in love with from Stephen F. Austin in Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. Mr. Gibson goes to town. Touchdown. What the hell was that all about? The Jets actually won a game in which Rodgers goes down seemingly, and now 2 days confirmed for the season, four snaps in. The Jets actually won a game? Zach Wilson, who spent the entire summer hearing from people like me and shows like this and Hard Knocks about how the Jets were like, last year, we don't have to deal with that anymore. Who are we talking about? Him. He actually hung in there. Robert Saleh's in the end zone celebrating like he's got a uniform on. He kept it together. I can't believe that. Talk about a running a gamut of emotions.
Crazy.
But of course, when it all subsides, win, that's very nice. But we're now staring into the abyss of at Dallas, home for New England, home for the Chiefs, at the Broncos, home for the Eagles. The first five games for Zach Wilson. Do me a favor, play me that soundbite. Mr. Hopkins and Bowie, the all-star team in our control room right now. Play me that one. This was Zach Wilson after the game.
I just got to keep getting better. You know, trust my feet, trust my coaches, trust the guys around me, rely on this defense that we have, and progressively just rely on everything I feel like I've done throughout training camp and preseason as well, and just do my best to keep improving as a player.
After this summer with Aaron, learning behind him, talking to him just in meetings and things like that, how much more prepared do you feel like you are and ready are you to really take that next step as a player?
Yeah, a lot more prepared, a lot more prepared. And you know, the hardest part is now putting it into a game, and I got to be able to do that. And so going into this week, it's applying everything that, you know, he's kind of helped walk us through and being able to watch him and the coaches, how they've handled this offense. You know, I got to be able to handle that efficiently.
Okay, so more roller coaster of emotions to sort through. I feel like this is therapy.
It is.
On one hand, the Jets still pulled it out. Mm-hmm. They have a championship defense. Mm-hmm. They scored on special teams to wrap it. Talk about a gut punch of all gut punches. And the Bills really had an opportunity. Josh Allen had a real opportunity to provide the gut punch last night when he spiked it to bring on the field goal that hit an upright and doinked through to force overtime.
That's wild.
Before that, if he had fake spiked it, I think I might have committed an absolute act that I would not want to commit in front of my children.
Throw an axe at somebody?
Honestly, the Jets fan base, we were so raw. If he had fake spiked it and thrown a touchdown. But I don't want to go there. Maybe be positive that maybe Zach is still the second overall pick of a draft, and he does have some ability, and maybe they're going to be able to put it together. And all he's got to do is just not turn it over, just game manage. We've seen it before. So that's one way to look at it. But then there's the other 54 years to look at it. And I say this with all certainty. Call Tom Brady right now. Call him right now. Call Tom Brady. I know he's the Patriot forever, and he was just there. Right?
Literally Patriot for life.
I could still hear the echoes from Sunday ceremonies.
I could still
hear it. Call Tom. Hey, Tom.
Listen.
I know this is a Curtis Martin once did it. Bill did it. Parcells did it. I mean, it's not totally crazy. I mean, it sounds crazy. I know, but I'm not rational right now.
Dude.
Cause there's no, I don't want to hear about Carson Wentz.
Well, you're gonna hear all those names.
I know you're gonna hear about it. I know I'm gonna hear about it.
Matt Ryan.
And we're gonna talk about it with Daniel Jeremiah later on. Scott Van Pelt's about to join us. And you know, Albert Breer, middle of this hour, and there's you. But honestly, how are we back here again? How does this happen? Four snaps. That's it. Just four snaps. And now we're hearing about this is tough to come back from. Mr. Rodgers, whose neighborhood was all about this year, next year, and maybe till I'm 45, and then I hand it off to Zach, just like Brett handed it to me. That was the implication. And then it's going to be great around here for a long time. Now we're just four snaps in. Maybe we're never going to see him again. Really? Really? How did we get here? And can the football gods, look, what can we do? Football gods, what can we do? What do you want from us? What is it? Because I'm willing to pay it. I think get it together. Me, Vayner, Gary V, Greeny.
The whole Wu-Tang
Let's all put
clan.
It together.
Yeah.
Method Man, let's go.
The RZA, the GZA.
Every
Inspect the Deck.
Last one.
Ghostface Killer, the Chef.
Of those names. Let's put it together. What do you want?
What's your boy?
Do you want from us? Give me an answer. And that's my take. What do you think? 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Scott Van Pelt, who was in the building last night, kind enough to check in on me. The first of many on this three-hour edition of the Rich Eisen Show.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook. On October 5th, Loki is back in a brand new season.
Reunited.
That's right.
The countdown is on.
I've been waiting.
Don't miss the return of Marvel's most watched Disney Plus show.
Loki.
Loki. Loki.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
His time is running out.
You better run!
Marvel Studios' Loki Season 2. New episodes streaming October 5th, only on Disney Plus.
Back here on our Roku channel feed, Scott Van Pelt has checked in. He will join us in a couple of minutes. I was checked out last night. I got to be honest with you, man. As soon as it happened, my phone blows up from people saying, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? Susie called because she was getting Coop coming back from his travel team baseball practice.
I can't imagine, Rich. I felt bad.
Zan, who, you know, as you know, is not that terribly into football. He comes down. He felt so bad for me. He watched a lot of football with me last night.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah. That's nice.
And it was, he and I together watching the finish.
See, there's your silver lining right
dude,
there.
Dude, yeah, and that's one of those things, like the two of us, yeah. We will know exactly where we were together when the Jets blew Caleb Williams. And he'll be like, who's Caleb Williams, Dad? Honestly, I can't. I'm not in a great state of mind, which is a bad way to go on live television and radio.
You heal with jokes.
Yeah, you can't.
Is it real, yeah, that's right.
Absolutely, man.
Wasn't that the crimes and misdemeanors? It's comedy is tragedy plus time. Yeah. There's not a lot of time yet, though. Hashtag too soon.
Look, I don't want to equate it to anything, but as a Los Angeles Clippers fan, I 1,000% feel your pain.
Oh, I got my buddy Doug texting me. He goes, now you know what it's like to be a Clipper fan.
Bro, like straight up. That's so. Every year, something. A hamstring, a broken finger, another hamstring, a broken hand, you know, a blown out knee. Like, I feel
By
you,
the way,
I,
we could potentially play a game and identify which players he's talking about. Because you mean there are players you're referring to specifically.
Oh, yeah,
Chris Paul, Kawhi,
Chris
Paul George.
Yeah, yeah. Blake Griffin.
Just throw them all on
the
there.
All those injuries have
happened. This is group therapy.
That's why I'm
Thank
here
you.
For you, baby.
Yeah.
Guess group the injury.
Holy crap. I mean, honestly, I wish I could curse. On the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. He's one of my favorites, and I'm not just saying that because he says yes when I ask him to come on the show. I've known him for several decades. He is the brilliant host of his own sports center, the Scott Van Pelt Sports Center, and the longtime worldwide leader in sportsman. Now part of the Monday Night Football Countdown crew at the site, Scott Van Pelt here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Scotty?
I'm well. I'm hugging you. This is me hugging you.
I appreciate that. I'm here. I'm going right back at you on that front. All right, Scott, let's just jump into it. What was it like to be there last night?
It's a play in, I don't know how many acts, but there are a lot of them. The build up pregame and the excitement. I mean, think of all of, you know what it is. It's 9/11 just outside of New York City. It's all that's cooked into that day. And then the release of what sports offers everybody in our country and specifically in New York. It's Aaron Rodgers coming out of the tunnel with the flag. It's MetLife absolutely as electric as an environment gets. And then four plays in 75 seconds and you're like, he's hurt. It's hard to overstate how much the air came out of that balloon. And yet that defense wouldn't let them totally check out. And the fact that the defense kept the Jets in it just enough that if you make a play, you might be able to steal this thing. And then here comes Gibson, whose story is well known because of Hard Knocks. And I'm standing right next to Adam Schefter on the other end of the field because that's where our set's going to be when the game ends. The minute he gets to the numbers on the left side of the field, Schefter hits me. He's like, he's going to score. I'm like, you're right. And the release in that building, the euphoria. We'll think about weeks 2 through 17 another time. Right now, we just beat the Bills. And it was mayhem. And then, you know, 30 seconds later, I'm on the air trying to, you know, communicate with Joe and Troy. It was an incredible, this roller coaster of emotions was astounding. And it's doing the show live in the arena. It they're not all going to be like that.
No.
But it's just such a great reminder of what it feels like in a setting when there's that sort of cathartic release.
And I still can't believe the game ended that way, Scott.
Nor can I.
But I could.
Nor can I. I mean, I realize most people are viewing this through the Jets lens, and I get it.
Yeah.
But if you're Buffalo, you can't lose that football game. You just can't. Can't. Division rival, Rodgers goes down. Like, just get out of there with a win. Road win, in division, you're off and running. I can't imagine them. As we left the stadium, I Bills Mafia, you all, you're special. There were like four Bills fans. One was upright. There were three that were splayed out on the concrete. I hope they're still with us. I don't know for sure. I know none of them are at work today. And if they are, they're probably not particularly productive. But what a scene. What a scene.
I know. And I think a couple of them were giving some Jets fans the business. There was one moment the Monday Night Football cameras were panned, unfortunately, to a Jet fan who flipped a bird at one of the guys. And I screen grabbed that and put that on my Instagram feed saying right back at you, football gods, because I couldn't believe that, but that's a phrase. That's a turn of the phrase or use of a phrase, because I can believe this happened to the Jets. And I totally agree with you that we are looking at it through the lens of the Jets. There is Northeast bias. Western New York can wait for a moment. And also, this is all we've talked about. This is all that we have talked about, because it's a first ballot Hall of Famer going from one place to a next. Brady did that just a couple years ago to ultimate success. The Jets go back to the goat farm in Green Bay to try and do it again. There were so many reasons to talk about it. And then just four snaps. That's it. I can't believe it.
I think everyone is doing some version of the same thing, particularly, Rich, if you're old enough to have a frame of reference that's more than just like magazine thin, right? You're old enough, you've got a book of memories, and you're trying to page back and go, who, what, what's the same? Nothing. You have the iconic franchise that is Green Bay. You have a guy that has a Hall of Fame career there leaving to come to New York. Like, I asked Peyton Manning about it. I mean, Indy to Denver, he did it. But with respect to Indy, that's not Green Bay. And with respect to Denver, that's not New York. So it's got every element of what makes us and our business just foam at the mouth. Like, it's going to give us something. And then for it to be this, I don't care if you despise Aaron, for whatever reason. If you're a Bears fan or a Lions fan or a Vikings fan and you just took it on the teeth over and over and over again, you have to have some empathy for this dude, because whatever the story was going to be, you at least wanted to see it written, right? You wanted the opportunity for him to write the story, good, bad, or indifferent. And this is just, it's just so unsatisfying. And I'm not talking about you or Greeny or, you know, that guy Deep Woody and the people that are Jets passionate fans.
Yes.
I ache for him. And then all of the people in the fandom that were just so excited. And now, you know, we're back to what it was last year, where the defense is going to give you a chance and you're going to have to figure out, you know, your quarterback situation.
Well, I mean, and if it is Zach, which it's going to be, I mean, there's just no question in my mind.
You make a move. I don't know what that would be.
The move is to get a backup. I went totally nuts in my show open, Scott, and I said, it's, you know, call Brady. I know that's ridiculous. And
no,
I know,
Scott.
You know, I mean,
make him say no.
Right. Right, right, right,
right.
Yeah.
Make him say no. What's it like? My wife kids around all the time. She's like, you got to ask for what you want in life. So, all right, Jets, we can call him. Somebody's got to sell. Tom, look, not for nothing. We got a spot for you.
I know.
You got to like this football stuff, right?
Not exactly. Scott Van Pelt here on the Rich Eisen Show, fresh back from Monday Night Football. Okay. So I think you did hit on one of the storylines once the Jets mania and the Jets-centric opinions and takes subside, and it is the Buffalo side of things. And so, I don't know. I mean, I know Allen is a risk-taker in a very Favre-like way, but he also throws passes like the ones to put them in position for the doink, by the way, to put them into overtime. And then the touchdown pass that had the Bills up for much of the game, where he just bought an insane amount of time until he found Diggs in the end zone. You know, I mean, so I'd rather go to battle with someone like him than most in the league, Scott.
Without question. We're really bad in our business at just the nuance element of this. Both things can be true. I hear this. If anybody else threw these interceptions, they'd get crushed. Well, no one crushed Josh Allen last night harder than Josh Allen, who said the same bleep, different day. His body language and what he was saying tells you he knows this is on him. He knows he can't take these chances. He knows he can't just get to that itchy trigger finger. And he's like, the hell with it. I'm going to take a shot. It digs down the field. It's double coverage. We'll see what happens. Well, you just can't turn the ball over like that. He knows that. But you're telling me, all right, okay, well, we'll play this game. All right, if he takes too many risks and turns the ball over too many times, which he's saying he would do, how long is your list of people that you'd rather have? Because it's not that long. He's got to value the ball more, period. And if he doesn't, then they're going to continue to hit their head on the ceiling at a level that's not what they're hoping it will ultimately be. So I think Allen's own words answer that question. But yes, what he can do with the football in his hands is, you know, he's got gifts that few have. So I don't know. I'm a fan of the guy.
Me too.
And I appreciated that he owned it in that moment because he knew. He knew more than anybody knew. We can't lose that game, and they did.
I'm with you. And then the other storyline that's already beginning to surface, and I think it's going to, if I had a wager around Wednesday, if not Thursday, will be a lot more of a hot button subject until Thursday Night Football, an actual game between the Vikings and the Eagles, removes it, is the turf and the playing surface. And the photograph of Rodgers blowing out his Achilles perfectly captures it, that there's no give at all. There's pellets all over the place. There's a perfectly planted left foot that's also having the right thigh of Leonard Floyd applying the pressure. And I think you can even see the bulge in the calf where the Achilles is going. It's just, it's jarring. And so
this is the Pruder film sort of analysis that you're providing here.
Well, you're seeing the Achilles go back into the left,
back
Scott.
Into the left.
Yes.
No,
yes.
I get it from the Jets lens. I would look at it and look for what happened. People get hurt playing football. It sucks, and it's the reality of it. The thing that would bother me about this one, let's just look at just one venue, MetLife, and this gets a ton of run. I mean, Carol G and two concerts and the Giants. They've never done this, by the way. Never gone Sunday night, Monday night. And salute to the people in MetLife. They flipped it for this, and they're going to do it for week 4. And so you need a surface that can handle that. But I find it interesting. They're going to replace it with grass for the World Cup. Huh. So we got a pitch made of grass for the guys that play soccer. Well, all right. I just wonder at some point if the – and people will still get injured on grass because they do. But
right.
I'm with you. I think and every player that plays the sport will tell you the same. They prefer it to be grass. And so, I mean, these venues are their factories for, you know, generating revenue, and having grass makes it a harder thing to do. Look, I root for the Washington team, and their field has been horrible for years because they rent it out like a bingo hall and the grass gets just destroyed. So I don't know what the right answer is. But I know that it does seem that there are more injuries, whether that's just the way we feel about it or if that's the reality, I don't know.
All right, and let's flip the script back into the right, I believe, behind you. Is that a puppy? Who do we got back there, Scott?
That's big Red. That's Red. I had a Rhodesian Ridgeback named Otis. When he passed away, I did a thing about it on the show.
That was beautiful.
Anybody that ever had a dog kind of knows what that is. Well, right. Red, he's about a year old. He's about 100 pounds of muscle. He's pretty calm at the moment. I did go on a podcast early in his time with us. He took a dump right behind me.
That's
so I'm
right.
happy today that at the moment Red appears to be quite comfortable.
Hey Red, okay. So did we walk Red today? Is that why Red's already
talking? Just got back. Just took him on a stroll.
Did his business?
Didn't see any deer. When he does, it's the DNA in him is like, I must kill those deer. I don't know what he would do if he got one. I don't think he's capable. I don't think he's hardwired.
He's very docile, Scott. I mean, it's a docile.
Right now he is.
Yeah. There he goes. Hold on a minute. Red's on.
He's had enough for you, Rich Eisen.
And scene. I think that's a perfect way to end it.
I think if he was a Jets fan, he'd be flipping the bird. I'm not going to do it because then you'll screen grab that and put it on your Instagram.
You're the best, Scott. Thanks for doing this, pal. You be well.
One more time. Right, nothing but love. Hang in there, big fella. Keep the faith.
We're hugging it out. So you're heading to Pittsburgh next week? Is that where you're going? You're going to Pittsburgh next
week? Two doubleheaders. So when there's doubleheaders, we'll do the show from Connecticut. The next road trip is right back to MetLife for week 4. It'll be Seattle and the Giants. And after those week 1 performances from those teams, who's fired up for that one, huh? 180 yards of offense versus the worst performance I've ever seen in my life. Who's fired up for football? All right.
It's a week-to-week league, brother. Week-to-week league.
We know it'll be different.
We're turning pages.
Some movie will happen.
We turn pages. Thanks for the time. Take care of yourself, pal.
Love to the family, Rich.
Same to you. That's Scott Van Pelt, the one and only Scott Van Pelt, SVP, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right. Fun stuff right here. Okie doke. I don't even still know what to say.
Here's a positive, Rich, if you want one.
Uh-huh.
Gibson. Oh. We watched this kid on Hard Knocks, and we got to the point where thought he was getting cut. Heart starts pounding. You're starting to feel sad because you kind of, you know, you form a bond with some of these kids. And you're like, oh, no, he's getting cut. And then he makes the team, and it's such a wonderful moment. And then for him to be the one to return the kick for the touchdown, it's just like, I don't know. I thought that was awesome.
I'll be personally. The one to bring up the no call and the tripping. Like, come on.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about the...
It was pretty obvious.
I mean...
But can't miss that. Also, Bills punter, let's at least try to tackle him. That was maybe the worst attempt at a tackle I've ever seen.
You know what? I'll just say this. I know John Parry has a job to do. But in the middle of all that, for him to hop in and go, oh, you know, shouldn't have counted. If my children weren't there, I would have cursed John Parry on the screen.
I don't think it was an obvious trip. He left his feet.
No, he left.
It
I mean,
was pretty bad. But,
it looked like he even swung his leg. Yeah. But you know what? We got one. We got a break. How about that?
You did.
The Jets caught a break. Did that happen? Did the Jets catch a break? Because, you know, had that been called, it would have been, what, first and 10 from like the 40? Spot
something
foul?
Like that. I mean, obviously still could have kicked a field goal and won.
Spot foul? Yeah, I know. How good is Breece Hall? How good is Breece freaking Hall?
It was amazing. He played great. I don't think anyone could have predicted that he would look that good coming after the knee injury.
Right.
But you can tell on the long...
The turf monster got him on the long... He ran 80 yards.
And he was like, all right, I'm tired.
This is it.
Like, I got to go down.
Last year, he would have taken it to the house. And so let's see like in week four.
Yeah. And he's very bad.
But it's one of those things when he finally goes down, I'm like, all right, he's hurt. Remember, he went back to the sideline. I'm like, well, I won't see him again the rest of the year. I'm scarred. I'm a scarred shell of a man right now. But they're 1-0. They're 1-0. And when we come back, we'll take some phone calls. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book, There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There are so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
I thought to myself, okay, in the few minutes that are here, let me write an Ed Hockley retirement letter and read it out on the air. We then post it on the Rich Eisen Show feed exclusive. The number of people that retweeted it and said they thought it was real is alarming, is the only way to put it. So, God bless him. You know how much we love SVP. Is Scott on the line now? Is Scott there?
Yeah.
You thought it was real.
Well, I mean, as you said, you are a guy that has a reputation. You work at the NFL Network. You got sources. And when it was brought up to me in our meeting, hey, did you see the letter Hockley wrote? And I thought, well, that's funny. And then later, as I'm trying to write this script, I'm not finding it anywhere on, like, Google searches or whatever. But I'm like, where'd y'all see that? And then the producer that had it is like, oh, it's on Eisen's feed. So I read your feed, and I'm like, there it is. I see the quotes that work, and I just slam it in there on the script and read it on television. Fake news. Fake news.
Hashtag, yes. Hashtag, fake news.
I'm mortified. Apologies to Mr. Hockley.
I'm sorry. You. We did not.
No.
That was not our intent.
Yeah, we didn't know it was going to happen like that.
That's entirely on us for not vetting, and it's an alarm bell that goes off to me that I'm not able to find this anywhere but there. But again, and this is where I'll turn it and point at you and blame you, Rich Eisen. When you're a source
source of, you know, information, and you got stuff no one else got. You think, yeah, sure, he's got the Hot Daily retirement letter.
And it's, I guess, believable that he's got his own stationery with himself on it, where there's a watermark of him as a rat.
As believable as it is that he's going to go sort out the lactic acid with a stretching regimen.
Vigorous regimen. Vigorous regimen.
I beg your pardon. Yeah,
yeah. You're the best, man. You're the best. I'm sorry.
You're the worst. Don't spoof me like that anymore.
YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for our entire almost 9-year archive. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, TV and radio networks all together. Mike in Georgia's been hanging on for a while. What's up, Michael? How are you, sir?
How are you doing, Rich?
What's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to first say I'm a Jets fan, and my heart goes out to Aaron. What he's done for the team in the short span that he's been here. I mean, he's still here, but he invigorated this team. He inspired this team. The summer he's had with us, it's been incredible. So my heart goes out to him because it is a major injury to him and his family. With that being said, I just want to say that the season is far from over. However, it will be over if we stick with Zach Wilson as our QB1.
But there's no option, Mike. What's the option? I mean, what are you going to do? Go in like the Cardinals and go into somebody else's organization and go grab somebody and start them within a week and a half? I mean, the Cardinals
do. You got to look at trades. You got to look at
like
FA.
Who? Like, give me a name. Give me a name, Mike.
Jameis Winston.
But why would the Saints do that? Why would the Saints go ahead and flip? Because the Jets are going to overpay for Jameis Winston, and then get him in. You know, and start him over Zach. I mean, Zach has a leg up on Jameis Winston. Like right now, as much as I have the same confidence level in Zach as you clearly do, Mike. I mean, let's truly hash this out. I feel the same way as you do, and I'm as raw as you are. But yeah. Zach has been in the system. Zach knows the terminology. Zach knows exactly what Rodgers was going to do. He watched. He had a front row seat. Jameis coming in would have to get up to speed and all of that. I know he's more veteran and has maybe a better ability to read a defense and not panic in a way that it does seem that Zach still hits that button. That's just not an answer. You know what I'm saying? I just don't think that would be. That's legit.
Zach, okay, so Zach spent, what, 95%+ of the snaps during the preseason games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And look at how many times he was in the red zone. I mean, he's allergic to the end zone. He's allergic to the end zone, okay? And we saw it last night. How many times were we in the end zone? And if Garrett Wilson doesn't make that incredible catch,
he's unbelievable.
No TD. It's unbelievable catch, but no TD if he's not there.
I get it. And Mike,
maybe not even a TD if it's Alan Lazard. And so, I mean, it would be 2022 all over again, and potentially even worse because our schedule is harder. I would put my chips on trying to get Jameis Winston up to speed rather than going through another 2022 with Zach Wilson.
And I appreciate the time.
What happens when you do that is you lose the locker room. You lose the locker room. It's not sustainable for the defense. The defense is ready to win now. It's Super Bowl caliber. Okay, they can stop an offense, not let them score more than 15, 16 points like we saw last night. That's still a good and formidable offense by the Buffalo Bills. And, like, we are so ready. We are so
desperate. I know, Mike. I saw the same thing, too. And I appreciate the call. Thank you, Mike. I saw the same thing, too. But when you go and get someone else, I mean, honestly, what they have to do, what the Jets must do, the move they must make today, because they're going to see Micah Parsons. Of course, it's a short week, but they're going to see Micah Parsons and company in 5 days. They're getting on a plane Saturday for Dallas. Oh, my God. What they must do is get a backup quarterback in stat. And I know Jets fans don't want to hear it. The guy that would be maybe most ready, because he was there last year, is Flacco. I mean, he's sitting at home. He may be the most ready, because if Zach gets dinged up, lit up by Micah or Tank Lawrence or just name it, there's, I mean, what, on, you know what's kind of crazy? I was thinking of tweeting out last night. I was thinking of tweeting out. I almost hit send on it, but I didn't because it would have sounded like trolling or whatever. But is it too late to trade for Trey Lance? You know, is it too late?
Is he better than Zach Wilson at this point?
No.
Probably
but what
not.
He is, he's better than the backup to Zach. Yeah. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
I'm not saying trade for Trey Lance now and start him.
Well, Jerry gave up a fourth. Just offer the Dallas Cowboys a third.
Diana Russini, our friend from The Athletic, is, you know, yeah, if they're reaching out to anyone with a pulse that plays in this game, that's a veteran that can come in and give you a chance to win a football game, which is first downs, no turnovers, put some points on the board, get Greg Zuerlein kicking five times if you need to. That's at least two touchdowns of points, and let your defense go to work. An interesting point by Mike. He's just thinking 2022 is going to happen again. Zach's just going to be so terrible that the defense just wants to, you know, have a coup. And that's Robert Saleh's secret sauce, is to try and prevent it. But they are 1-0. They actually won it. And, of course, it's the first 6 weeks. We were talking about him. Here I was playing the win-loss games thinking they're going to go 4-2 in them because Rodgers could do it. If Rodgers played last night, don't you think he gets at least a touchdown or two on the board? And that thing was that we're coming on the air today talking about Josh Allen being the culprit significantly, and the Jets are have arrived. Don't you think the way the defense played?
I think we'd at least get to 45 points, and I'd cash my over.
There
but and seriously, I mean, we should be talking about how poorly Josh Allen played today. Anyway,
we will do that in hour two.
He was terrible.
Steve in Denver, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Steve?
Good morning, Rich. First time, and dare I say, OG from your very first show.
Attaboy.
Thanks, you buddy. So much for allowing me to take this time. I do have a couple things to say. First of all, Rich, as Aaron himself said, R-E-L-A-X.
Okay.
He will be back.
Okay.
I have ruptured both of my Achilles 2 years apart. There's some different types of ruptures. It sounds to me like he has a good one, if there is such a thing, where they can fix it relatively easily. And he has a very, 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 very high chance of being back to full strength when he comes back next year. I think that with the world-class trainers that the Jets have and have access to, he'll be back soon. I work for a very large fire department here. We actually have hired former NFL strength and conditionings. We just had a guy that was from the Patriots. He went back to the Texans. And we recently hired a gentleman from your Michigan Wolverines, who is amazing and is actually a neighbor of mine. They will get him back on the field, Rich.
Okay, Steve.
I promise you that. He will be stronger than ever.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. You know, I feel like people are coming up to me and giving me hugs. Everything's going to be all right. I can't believe it happened.
I think the real question, too, is does Rodgers want to do that? Does he want to go through a year rehab and at 41 years old, 42 years
old?
He'll
be 40. He'll be 40 for the rehab. And it just is the appetite
right
of his
remember, this is a guy who said he was 90% retired when he went into the darkness.
So it's just his appetite for wanting to play and not wanting it to end this way. That he's not going to go out limping off the field as a Jet, just like he doesn't play for one franchise technically his entire career, even though he kind of did. And, you know, I'll just tell this story again. My nephew Lee, who is former Rich Eisen Show intern, Jet fan, because his dad, my brother, is. I did not inflict my children with the same fandom, because my sister-in-law, his wife Andrea, really didn't have much to football rooting. As you know, Susie does.
Yes.
And, you know, Coop very excited about the way Mac Jones looked. So, again, When my kids are born, I'm not like, you are going to be a Jet fan when Brady's winning championships. They would have had child services come to the house.
They're out of it.
So long story short is Lee, my nephew, one time said, hey, would you mind getting me for Hanukkah a Tim Tebow jersey when Tebow came to the Jets? And I said to him, no, I'm not going to do that because it will wind up being an ironic Halloween costume more than an example of your fandom. Don't do it. I did it anyway. And so right now, this jersey that the Jets gave me, I'm holding up for the radio audience, number 8 Rodgers, right now is officially an ironic Halloween costume for, interestingly enough, 6-8 weeks from now. This is, if Rodgers doesn't play again, this is what a Jet fan can wear to Halloween as just an ironic, you know, wink and a nod to the football gods, always kicking them in the nards. So I wonder if Rodgers would look at this jersey and say, this is not ironic for me. This is something I want to get back in. And that's what he's got to compute. And knowing him, there'll be a process of retreating or talking or shaman visiting or whatever. And I don't use that as any way, shape, or form of making light of it. It's just he has a process, clearly. None of us know what it's going to be. None of us. But that's the question, is what will his appetite of playing, and then how does he swallow what happened to him last night? Because right now it's all about Jets fans and about our feelings. How about him? That'll be one of the mysteries and part of the conversation we have in hour number 2 with Albert Breer and, of course, you on our phone line. 844-204-RICH being the number to dial.
I'm sure he knew what happened right away.
Oh, and, definitely.
And just, you know, his thought process. And
Durant did. You see Durant tweeted at him?
Yeah.
I mean, previously to last night, Durant had the most famous calf twitch for the sports world to see en masse. And, you know, you could see Nathaniel Hackett on the headset say to Rodgers, are you okay? And Rodgers shook his head and sat down. I'm like, when that happened,
when
I'm like, are
down,
you kidding me that he sat down?
Yeah.
Did you see Peyton Manning's reaction when he came out of the blue tent, went on the cart?
Just telling these guys that I was
Manning was
the
just like,
cast.
Get out of here, you know. I thought this would be an ankle. Just tape it up and get back out there.
Yep. He also, Manning, I don't know if he was kidding, didn't realize Zach Wilson was still on the team. He's like, I got nothing on this guy.
Yeah, he said he prepared nothing because he didn't expect to see him.
Look at the headline. Jets win on spectacular overtime run, but Rodgers likely lost for a year with injury. Agony and ecstasy. Do you think they put... I don't know, man. Aaron out early is the headline of the Daily News.
Jeez.
I still cannot believe the Jets won that game. I still cannot believe it.
Bigger win than Super Bowl III?
Yeah, very good. That trophy's going to still be lonely. Albert Breer coming up next on the Rich Eisen Show. And also Daniel Jeremiah on what he saw on tape. He's also a Chargers radio announcer. He saw Tyreek Hill in person. Don't miss that.
Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.